1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. Good morning. My name is Colin Worthington. We have less than 1 week until the November general election. Early voting going on in Carroll County right now at the WGTC, the old former WGTC building, which is now the elections office here in Carroll County. It's going on today, tomorrow, and Friday, and also this week, being the final week for early voting, you can go to Powell Park in Villarica. I'm going to introduce you to my guest right now, Maura Keller. She is billed as the Common Sense candidate for Georgia's 3rd Congressional District with Common Sense Policies. A retired lieutenant colonel, her decision to run for Georgia's 3rd Congressional District was born out of a deep passion for veteran reform and women's rights. Her campaign focuses on veteran reform, reproductive health care and IVF access, minimum wage, education, LGBTQ plus rights, climate change, and a range of other issues that she wants to champion in Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning.
Second time on the program.
Yes,
that was
sir.
We did that during the primary, and this is the general election.
Yes, sir.
So, and I must say, it's you. I don't want to say you've grown, but I mean, you definitely are a different candidate maybe than when you started this out in the primary 10 months ago, maybe 11
yeah,
months ago.
Yeah, it was the end of January. And it just seems like, my gosh, the time is now flown. Mm-hmm. Like you say, 6 more days.
Did you expect you'd be, because you're in it. I mean, you're working hard every single day.
Did
you know this was going to be it? Were you prepared for that?
No.
No.
No, I don't think any of us are truly prepared. But yeah, I've been out there knocking on doors and really engaging with the folks of the district. You know, it's 15 counties, a lot of windshield time, a lot of being in the rural areas. And I have enjoyed every single minute of it, you know, getting to know all the people.
Do you think that you knew what those counties looked like?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not just going down and just talking to the folks, but actually driving around within the county. So you can actually see what's happening, you know, where the life is, where it isn't, and, you know, how can we make this better? So when they're talking and telling me things, it's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about because I saw that.
All right, Maura Keller is running for Congress, the 3rd District, and again, early voting continues this week before Election Day next Tuesday. I did a little brief introduction there, but talk a little bit about more about your background and maybe even your family.
So my background, I'm a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, started off in 1978 as an enlisted military policewoman. And then from there, I got my commission. So 26 years later, retired Lieutenant Colonel. Then I did about 10 years as an independent contractor. And with that, I worked on various projects, and companies would come to me and say, look, these are projects we want to bid on. Do you want to work on them? And I would always tell them the same thing. If you want me to work on them, you cannot sanitize my data. If you want to sanitize it and make it politically correct and really nice, then don't waste my time. Because these projects were for the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, the Chief of the Army Reserve, and I wanted to make sure that they had the best data. And then from there, I went back to school, used the GI Bill, got another degree, this time is a radiological science as a nuclear medicine technologist. So for 7 years, I worked at various hospitals within the area. Then the last 3.5 was at the Atlanta VA. So that was where the passion for running for office came from. Because I was working those veterans' issues. Once I finished my patient, they would come and see me. And it's like, okay, we're going to work this office. We're going to work this building. We're going to get you what you need. And it made me think for everyone that I was helping, there's another 10, 50 people out there that have an issue. So that was my thing for, it's like, I could not affect change, so I'm going to run for office. Now, I've lived here in Fayetteville for 28 years. When I retired in 2004, I've stayed here. And you know what? Tomorrow will be my 20 years that I've retired. So it's been, it feels like just yesterday that I was still in the Army. But my been here for 28 years. My husband and I, we've raised 4 kids, and I got 2 grandkids.
Mm. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
All that as well. All right, time right now is 8:35. Our guest is Maura Keller, candidate for District 3 Congress. Among the topics that seem to be gaining traction nationally, you know, for the campaigns, they're talking a lot about the economy.
Sure.
You know, and there's debates on the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, about, you know, how it's improved or it hasn't improved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's talk about, you know, people can't. You know, the story somebody bringing 3 apples and can only buy 2 at the line. But how do you see our economy right now, the state of our economy?
Well, the economy is definitely getting better. And, I mean, the numbers are there. Economists will tell you, and, you know, they're not being political on either side. Those are just the facts and those are the numbers. But we do still see that greedflation. We see, like, I went to the grocery store, and I use this as a perfect example. It was a big box of cereal, and it was the mega size. Mm-hmm. But when I took the bag out, and I took all the air out, yeah. I mean, it was half the box, and I'm paying so much more. And, you know, we know that the prices have definitely increased. And we have got to hold those companies accountable because, you know, when you look at all the various companies, it's only a few that own them all. And those are the ones, they get to set the price. So we've got to make sure that, you know, those that are that price gouging that way, we're gonna hold them accountable.
Well, how do you do that? How do you decide if they're gouging or not? I mean, if it's capitalism and they can say, hey, you know, if you're gonna buy it, we're gonna
charge. Well, and that's the thing. That's just not fair for the American mm-hmm. people for what we're paying for. You know, we helped them out when it came to COVID because of the supply and demand. We knew that a lot of items were not getting to us because we closed down the ports and stuff like that. And we paid the prices that we had to pay. But then when everything was open and the supply and demand was coming back, they still kept their prices artificially high and they did not bring those down. So we supported them when we needed to, and they haven't done anything good to us in return.
One of the issues that you do have on your website, you do talk about minimum wage. Mm-hmm. 1988, when I went to work for the first time, I believe it was $4.25.
I can beat you. I was $22.22 when I started, yeah.
And then, I mean, at that point, I mean, I don't remember thinking, you know, I mean, it just because, you know, things were a lot cheaper then, so I guess it wasn't, I didn't feel like that big a deal, but it's only raised $3 since then. Is you know, I'll hit you with the opponents, say, mm-hmm. as far as raising the minimum mm-hmm. wage, but what, you know, you do support raising the minimum wage. What's a good price, and why is that important?
Okay, so definitely raising the minimum wage. So if you look at Georgia's rate is $5.15, hasn't been changed in 15 years. So then we have the federal rate, which is the $7.25. That's the same time frame, 15 years, it hasn't changed. There is no desire on either side to go ahead and change it. When I say either side, it's the state and the federal. So the only way that I can do that is finding ways to be bringing better paying jobs into the district. Now for raising, we'll talk about from the raising of the wage. There was a point that $17 was a better wage. But if you look at like Mercer did a study, and they're showing it's like $20-$22 to be a fair livable wage here in Georgia. And I don't think we're going to be able to make that jump from $7, but we got to start making those gradual changes, because you know, so on two things. Our district, we've got about 100,000 people that are at or below minimum wage. I'm sorry, at or below poverty level. So we've got to find a way to be able to help them bring their standard of living up. And that's through better paying jobs in the district. And because nobody has a desire to change them, the wage, union jobs are probably one of the best things that we can do, is bringing them out. Because some of the areas, the rural areas that have closed, their businesses have closed, there is nothing there for them. And so they're traveling an hour plus for a better paying job. And it's still not huge. I talked to a gentleman in a gas station, and I said, what can we do to be able to help you? And he said, I don't want to drive an hour and a half. And he was going to work for Dollar General. And he said he was making more money than he could where he was. So it's like, okay, he would like to stay in his area, spend more time with the family instead of being on the road. So bring in those jobs. They want better paying jobs. They want jobs that have training, because they don't want to go to tech school. They don't want to go to college. They're like, I just want to go to a job that I can do and learn and grow in. And union jobs are the best things that we can do for them.
Opponents of raising the minimum wage believe that higher wages could lead to inflation, make companies less competitive, and result in job losses. That's
He's absolutely insane. He does not understand this at all. He doesn't understand how this works. Let me tell you something.
Well, I'm saying opponents minimum wage. I didn't say anybody in particular.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever's saying that is just, oh, it leaves me speechless. No, that is not going to lead to inflation at all. We've got to take care of the people. The people have taken care of businesses. You know, I'm going to go with my opponent, because he has talked something about the And they're so proud of it. It's the tax cuts.
In 2017 tax cuts. I was going to ask you about that because I think that the opportunity in Congress is it next year to let them die or reinstate them.
So the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, I mean, just look at it. And, you know, they're so proud. They're saying that that was the best thing for the economy, it was the best thing for the people. But who really got something out of it? The businesses, they walked away with record profits. They walked away with record bonuses. And their stockholders walked away with you know, rates that, you know, for the money they put in. Look at what the people got. So when I was asking them around, I said, so where did you, how'd your rate go up, your pay go up? And they said, I got a 50-cent raise, I got a 75-cent raise. So as the Republicans are talking about the trickle-down effect that this was supposed to cause, it did not happen. The money stayed up at the higher level. And so...
So you would not support that if they bring that back to in 2000 next year?
Okay. No, because you have not done anything good for the people of this district. It did not help the people of this district. It helped businesses, and it helped the corporate CEOs, but it didn't. There was no trickle-down effect to the people.
All right, Maura Keller is our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, candidate for District 3 U.S. Congress here in Georgia. We'll take our first break, come back, and continue our conversation. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be, too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Tamron has 843. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice. News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Maura Keller. She is candidate for U.S. District 3 or Georgia District 3 and for Congress. And again, thank her for joining us this morning. Let's see here. What's next? What should Congress do in the next term to address concerns about immigration and border security?
Well, we knew we had that border bill, and it was ready to go. And for them to torpedo it because Trump told them to. Because if, just think about it, had we put that in place, look at his talking point that he has had from that day all the way to now. He's been able to make immigration and immigrants the target. And had we been able to put that to rest, he would have nothing to run on. Now, is it a perfect bill? No, but it's the best bill that they have had in decades. And it was a way for us to move forward, something that we can get in place and something we can build on. Because when you look at it, we were going to get rid of the catch and release. We were going to make it harder for people, for asylum seekers. The Border Patrol, they loved it. We were going to give them more Border Patrol agents. And the whole process was going to be moving us forward. And again, bipartisan bill. So that's the thing we got to get going. When I get to Congress, we got to sign that into place and get it going.
Well, does a new bill have to come out now since it'll be a new?
Yeah, we can. I'm sure. I don't know all the rules and regulations, but I mean, if there's a way to put it back on the floor for it to get voted on, that's what we need to do.
Well, is amnesty for those here who are legally now? Is that an option? Do you think?
I don't know. It's something I would have to think about, something I would have to look to see, you know, what is the right thing to do. Because, you know, look at what happened under the Trump administration. We still to this day have children that have not been brought together with their families. They are still separated. They had no database. They don't know where they belong. So we can't allow that to happen again.
Should Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. become states?
I believe Washington, D.C. should definitely become a state. And I've never heard any discussion about Puerto Rico. But, yeah, that's something that we can talk about. Because, obviously, we as Americans, for some reason, don't see Puerto Rico as belonging to us. So if we have to call them a state for them to understand.
They pay taxes. Do they vote? Take care of them?
And that kind of infuriated me for what was just recently said about them, because I have served with so many people from Puerto Rico, and they are beautiful folks, and to say what you have said about them, and again, these are people that I served with. Not happy with this.
Time right now is 8:46. My guest is Mara Keller on this morning's Community Voice program. Packing the courts. Now, that's an idea of adding justices to the Supreme Court or lower courts to shift the balance in a liberal, conservative, or other direction. It is in a conservative direction. More conservative justices than there are liberal. Mm-hmm. Do you support? I mean, that's. And I'm not sure I've heard that that's actually something that they will do. I know it was thrown out there. Maybe Biden threw it out 3 or 4 years ago. So it's definitely something that's been jumped on, like, hey, they're going to do this. Is that something you would support?
There's a lot of talk on that, from adding additional justices to let's look at term limits for them. And that was something that was being looked at, which I think would be good, that because you would have each of the presidencies would be allowed to bring somebody in while the others are being taken out. And so every time, whether it be a conservative president or a Democratic president, they would be able to put in one or two justices during that time, but then the other two would be leaving because it's their time. But to have a lifetime to stay there, I'm not for that one.
See, that does make it political. Like, I mean, you know, like Ruth Ginsburg. I mean, she hung in there till the end.
Yeah.
And that just so that they could hold on to the seat. But it shouldn't be that way. I mean,
well, and then you look at the games that Congress and the Senate play, because you know.
Right.
Right.
The Senate, when it held office, said, "Yeah, you're lame duck president.
You can't do it because you're too close to the presidency." And then what happens? The same thing happened when it was the other way around. And was like, "No, we're going to pack it, and look at what we got." And this is what we have now.
So you'd be open to further discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as adding to that.
Absolutely.
And also, should SCOTUS be held to the same ethical standards as congressmen and women?
Well, all the judges down below them that are held to ethical standards, and yet they aren't. You know, they talk about, well, we passed an ethics for us, but they are not enforcing it. And to be able to look at them to say the things that they can get away with, but the lower judges and lower other courts could not, or the American people could not get away with that. No, they need to be held to a standard.
All right. Mara Keller is our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, candidate for Congress, 3rd District here in Georgia. And we're on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page this morning. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and post those, and I'll try and share those during our third segment, which is coming up in about a minute and a half here on Newstalk 1330 FM 106.3. Our program brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
.849 Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program. Wrapping up our interview here with Mara Keller, candidate for District 3 House Congress out of Georgia. And remember, early voting continues this week, and then Election Day is actually Tuesday. So we are wrapping up less than 1 week before this is all done, hopefully. Again, Mara Keller, our guest. Did have a couple of comments. Yeah, and elaborate. Greg Lyle has asked you to elaborate. Why should D.C. become a state?
Ooh, good question. My question would be, but then why not? Because they act like a state. The people get to vote. They pay taxes. So why can't they be governing themselves? I don't understand.
Greg, thank you for that question.
But yes, I do. I appreciate that question.
All right. Should Congress legislate access to abortion, contraception, and other reproductive health care, or just leave it to the states as it is now?
Do not leave it to the states. It does not belong in the states. It does not belong in the Supreme Court. We have got to let women be responsible for themselves. The government needs to be totally out of this. It's between the woman, her doctor, her spiritual advisors, her family. And that's where it needs to be. Because we've seen what's happened. We've seen those two women that had gone, that had died recently. And we knew women had talked about it. We knew that it was predictable that deaths were going to happen after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And here it is. But the thing is, it was preventable, and we can't allow any more women to be affected by this.
Has Congress provided appropriate levels of funding for the Ukraine and for Ukraine and Israel? And under what, if any, circumstances would you support future appropriations?
I believe the funding has been adequate, and I know people are. At least on the Republican side, they're saying, you know, we need to be pulling out of Ukraine. We need to not be providing them any more money. But the thing is this, as a military person, we support our allies. And Ukraine is an ally. And we know what Putin's agenda is. And it's not going to stop at Ukraine. From Ukraine, it's going to hit one of our NATO allies. And when that happens, we're going to put in Article 5. And we're going to have to be now part of the war. Right now, we're only using about 5 to 6% of our DOD budget, and they are doing very well with what we're sending them, and we've just got to continue this. And you know, for Trump to say that he's going to end this in one day, that is not going to happen.
Should federal law bar discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity in the same way as sex, race, and ethnicity?
Okay. One more time with that question.
Should federal law bar discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity in the same way as it is in sex, race, and ethnicity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am an ally of the LGBTQ community. And if you look at what's happening right now with the repealing of anything dealing with DEI, it's almost like it's going to allow people to discriminate. You know, women, we have tried to make movements forward. And I remember in the military when I got promoted to major and somebody passed me in the hallway and they said, hey, congratulations on your promotion. But you know, because you got promoted, we probably had a lot of men that didn't, because we have to promote so many women and so many blacks. And I looked at them like, I just have no words. But that thought is still today. You know, we have got to make sure that people's biases and bigotry and prejudices aren't involved in some of these decisions. But it's sad to say that they are. So we have to put these into place.
What, if anything, should Congress do to regulate firearms?
Okay, I am pro Second Amendment. I will say that over and over and over again. But I am against gun stupidity and gun irresponsibility. And for the laws that we have here in Georgia, we rank 46th in the nation for gun safety. We rank 2 in the nation when it comes to guns being stolen out of vehicles. We have no requirement to say you have to safe store your weapons. We have no requirement that says you need to have certain training with your weapons. But people will say that that's against my Second Amendment. I say we can put common sense gun safety laws on the books. without affecting Second Amendment rights. But right now, the NRA owns our Congress people, and they will, they have somehow figured that they are going to determine how, when, and if we can keep our families safe. We had the Violence Against Women's Act that was out there, and that was to take weapons away from people that have been charged, but they haven't been convicted yet of a domestic abuse, and they have access to firearms. So they wanted to temporarily take them away to keep them safe because stats show they will use it. And we saw the one in I think it was Spalding. The woman was killed by her ex. So the thing was, the NRA jumped in and says, you can't do that because that is against that individual's Second Amendment rights. And all we're trying to do is temporarily take them away to make sure that woman or that spouse or whoever it is kept safe.
I've got two questions left, and I've got about 3 minutes.
So okay.
I'm trying to determine how I should get these out there. All right. Now, obviously, you're going to need some Republican support to win this district.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to get it. Now, is there something, an issue, Republican-supported issue that you see yourself?
Here's the thing. What you just said is, right now, I have been receiving texts, emails to my Facebook page and to my campaign website saying, I'm a Republican and I just want you to know I voted for you. I have had Democrats send me the same thing and say, my mom, my dad, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, they do not, will never vote for a Democrat. And they said, I just want you to know they voted for you. When I have sat down with Republicans, and I didn't know that they were Republicans, I'm in a room of people. I try not to keep myself just in a Democratic circle. I try to be out with the people. And then I'll find out that they are a Republican. They say, you know what? You make sense. Some of the policies we were just having the conversation about, I could get behind. You're not that crazy leftist, communist, Marxist that everybody's talking about. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty much, you know, in center of the road. And it's about doing the right thing for the people. That's my only focus on. It has nothing to, let me just make sure everybody understands something. I am country over party. I have always been that way. I'm the recipient of the General Douglas MacArthur Leadership Award and from the MacArthur Foundation. They had given me that award when I was a young captain. And one of the premises to that is you emulate duty, honor, and country. And that is something I have always been. And the other thing is my NCOs that took me under their wing, they were my Vietnam guys, and they said, I'm going to give you two bits of information. And I have taken that with me my entire life. It's number one, never forget where you came from. And that was, you were the lowest man on the rung. You were that enlisted person. You know what it was like. And the second one is, always remember that the decisions you make and don't make are going to affect that soldier in the field. That has been my North Star on everything that I have ever done. So from my soldiers for 26 years to my patients at the VA, and that is the way I look at the people of this district. I don't look at you at anything else other than I'm trying to do the best thing for you.
All right, Maura Keller, candidate for Congress here in Georgia, 3rd District. Got 30 seconds. So what's your website, Facebook, Instagram?
Okay, my goodness. It's MauraKeller.com, where you can find more about my policies. And please, I have a lot of people that actually email me, and they have questions. And I will either call you or I will email you back because I really enjoy the dialogue. And just so you know, because I am the one that's out there, my opponent's not out there knocking on doors. I am out there working the doors, talking to people in the grocery stores, in the gas stations. I've got 5 3.5-inch binders of topics that people have said, this is what's important to me. And I've divided them. And if I didn't understand a topic, I went and did the research. And so that's all in the binder. And then I went and started making phone calls of who are the subject matter experts that could sit down with me and guide me. So when it's time to go to Washington, I know what the people here want. I'm not mistaken about my job. My job is to listen, understand, advocate, and elevate their voice. And there is nothing else that I'm supposed to do.
All right. Early voting continues this week. Election day is next Tuesday. Thank you, Maura. Good to
see you
again.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for tuning in for this morning's Community Voice.